Blog Talk Radio.
Charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see so gallantly, yeah.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony, oh, everything. Let our rejoices rise high, burning the loud as the north sea. Who has brought us thus far? Thank you.
1290 AM.
Say it loud, real loud, y'all. I'm black and I'm proud, I tell y'all, this is a day that the black community, as we're moving toward Monday, is proud. And they're proud for many reasons, and they're in pain for many reasons. It's like a dual thing, you know. It's like love and hate. It's like two things, like, you know, it's a dual thing, yin-yang. So we're proud. Tired of beating our head up against the wall and working with someone else. And that is true just like it was when Jane Brown made it, just like it was when Dr. King was murdered. You know, it's really. And still, we are black and we're proud. A lot of folks are proud because a lot of you are on their way to those who listen on iHeart on the bus. I know the Congressman Davis took a group of people to the inauguration, some other folks did. I know you're proud because on Monday, you're going to celebrate King's birthday and the celebration of a second term for our president. So some of you are proud about that. So we got all kind of reason to being proud or whatever. But the question is, are you black and you proud? So we're going to be today, you know, this is kind of a time that's kind of strong for me, kind of reflective. I was looking at the Smithsonian, I tell everybody they can find this. Smithsonian did a show, I think, back in December on some missing tapes, you know, some of the file tapes from during the time with Dr. King leading up to his murder, to the ride and all that, tapes they hadn't released. Very interesting tapes. I wish y'all look at them if you can. It's on the Smithsonian channel, and it's the MLK tapes. Very interesting to see people, how they was and what they was doing during that time and looks on their face. Have some opinions about what I saw, but I cannot talk about it. But I must say that in my lifetime, all of the facts about Dr. King, most of it is going to come out, even the folks who was involved in his murder, you know. And we know that he was murdered. And you have to look at that, what he said and how he looked and all the other things. And we also know later on, the FBI found out there was a lot of folks inside that was part of it. But I'm not going to go there with you. I'm going to save it for a minute. I was on the West Side last week, enjoyed it, enjoyed being on the West Side with Reverend Miller and those ministers, and then going on to Reverend Hatch Church with Congressman Davis to celebrate Dr. King's on the west side of Chicago. Very interesting, very good. I want to thank Congressman Davis for at least doing that. You had almost every elected official on the west side there and most of your ministers in that church. I'm not sure that the west side ministers and elected officials have done that. I mean, when I told them they all need to be trying to get together to work on our problems, when I was sitting there looking at everyone, not one of them was not part of that program. Few of them might not have come, most of them did, but the fact that they all were sitting and they came together under the umbrella of Congressman Davis. I'm also calling on the same thing, not only under Congressman Davis on the west side, but the other folks on the south side, that those are the kind of things that our elected officials have to come together. And I don't mean coming together to do no ceremony standing behind Rahm Emanuel, none of that. But to really look at, just like they came together for King's birthday, to really look at our problems and see what each group have in terms of resources to solve the problem, not individually, but to really look at it and have an open dialogue and a serious strategy about saving the black community in the spirit of Martin Luther King Jr. Now, I told you that I'm going to talk about some of the stuff that I talked about last week, since Bobby Steele gave me 2 minutes. Ms. Steele, I told you, say, listen in today, I got 2 minutes to speak. And I'm going to, and I said, all that I missed in them 2 minutes for y'all to call back. It was interesting because somebody told me, well, you took five. It was interesting, that I, you know, but that's all right. 2 minutes, I guess, is better than 0 minutes. It's all right, y'all. Joke, but true. So I told some of you to listen in today that I would really be talking about some of those things. I'm also going to play, I was looking through my, and I did, and by the way, some of you came and bought the tape, and a few of them are still, I made a few, they're still at the headquarters at the Harold Washington after 12, in case you want to go over and get one for your program this weekend. So I'm going to come back and talk about a little of the few of the things that I talked about with that I talked about on the west side. Not much, because I got a tape I chose, and it's the state of the, it's the civil rights at a crossroad. And it's important. I think I've played that before for you, but I thought it was very important to play today. I heard, what's the man's name come on just before me? Valentine. And he was talking about him and jealous, and Sharpton was getting together to put together a program, an agenda for the gift of the president. I laugh. I don't think Jealous, Sharpton, and Valentine can put together a program for our community. You got to have people in there that's willing to shed blood, sweat, and tears, who knows what it takes to go all the way to be added in the mix too. But here again, we are being manipulated to be told what to say and how to say it. So if there is anything, there's enough people around this country who have made change, who have petitioned the government, who should be. Because as far as I'm concerned, Jealous and Sharpton and all of them, all my brothers, are just excuse makers right now. You know, they really don't want to tackle the truth. And Dr. King said, I don't care who it is, you deal with the truth. So they'll just go out, they're like, when you play football, you send your folks out to knock down the things out the way so you can run through. And then, so they think it's give a clear path. And I'm not saying they should not give a clear path. They should continue their role as giving a clear path. But there's got to be somebody in the room that's not concerned about a clear path, but concerned about the liberation of black people. That's just my opinion, my humble opinion, Dorothy Wright Tillman on Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with Dorothy. That's what this is about. We are at a crossroad, and when you hear that tape, I know Courtney is getting ready to put it together. She's putting it in place. But when you hear the tape, and I'm going to start playing it when I come back. I'm not going to play it before I go out, Courtney. So we want to talk about it. And today, later on, in my 7 o'clock hour, I'm going to have Doris Crenshaw on my show. And the reason I'm having Doris is still hanging out in Montgomery. I'll be down there with her in March. You know, Doris is the one when you saw the, when they did the movie on the bus boycott, she kind of helped pull that together. I was supposed to be in that movie, but I didn't get down there to do my taping. But it's all right, a lot of the folks from that movement. We're all part of those children who grew up in the movement. I heard Kendall talking stuff last night. Kendall, I love you. All I wanted to say to Kendall was, when you say Miss Park, say it with reverence. If you say Rosa Park, say it with reverence. Or say Miss Park, don't say it in a strong, disrespectful way, because the lady gave a lot. It wasn't nothing personal. I was just saying, just kind of respecting her a little bit, because she gave up a lot. So when you talk about these young folks who are still wherever we are, we're working. And Doris and I are going to be having a discussion, because what y'all don't know, Disciples of King is being treated just like the Disciples of Jesus was. I am a disciple of Martin Luther King Jr., a product of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and a lot of us are. Just as when they crucified Jesus and some of the disciples were moving around trying to do what they had to do, there's a lot of us out here, not just me, we're all over this country, and wherever we are, we're trying to do what we know to do that's correct, because our leader, who said, the Christ, let me be, you know, to be Christ-like, gave his life and said, I'm willing to die. And he gave up the ghost and gave up the blood, and the rest of us are here. So we're here, wherever we are, trying to do what's right for our community. Very clear on Dr. King. And, I really get through a thing, because we was watching this last night. I was watching it with Ebony. By the way, she's back today. And some of my grandchildren. And I started up here laying that coffin in Memphis, and I just kind of broke down a little bit. And I broke down because Dr. King had said, I'll die for this. You know? And he gave up his life. And to look at knowing that so-called militant black brothers set up that ride later on and found out Sweet Willie Wine and all of them was agents, they set the ride up for Dr. King to be killed. He was supposed to be killed the first time. But James Orange and all of them got him out of there, and then they brought him back. You know, he kept saying, my sick white brothers who say that, and I want Evan to get that cued up, I heard about my sick white brother's going to kill me or whatever. He knew that because he'd been threatened. And then there are those who told him to come back. Keep in mind now, before Dr. King was doing all that, you had a group of leaders who had came together and told Martin, had a press conference against Dr. King. Black leadership had a press conference against Dr. King. This man, a God man, who really believed in black people, who was willing to give his life for black people. So now what you have, like everything else we have, is being whitewashed. It's being like the story is being told wrongly. They don't want you to know that Dr. King fought for equality for black people, for the Negro people. He was not afraid to be black. They would have you to think that he was some mealy mouth. And it's just that everybody else was able to make it because of the fight that Dr. King and all of us did. This man gave his life. And we're going to talk about this in Black History Month later on, because we got to talk about those, the betrayal of Dr. King. You know, not just those blacks who betrayed him in Memphis and partly responsible for his death, but also those who ran over there and grabbed all the resources and did not build their community. The betrayal of Dr. King. We're going to talk about the betrayal of Dr. King one day, but we're not going to talk about it now. And betraying our leader, we betrayed the black community, just as the people betrayed Jesus when he was crucified. The betrayal of those who now can make $1 million just putting a hoop in, and then look at the black community worse than the white man did. The betrayal of those who sit on the boards of directors because of Dr. King and black people fighting in the blood, sweat, and tears, who won't even look at doing anything for black people, or those who get the contracts on high. I mean, we have to really talk about the betrayal. Why are we here? Dr. King was betrayed in Memphis. That's how he was murdered. And his legacy is that the black community, those who have reached, is continuing to betray it. And we're going to talk about that one day real soon. And we're going to talk about how they're betraying it. And it's sitting by rewriting everything Dr. King stood for in every speech that he made so that you won't know what's what. I'm going to come back, and we're going to play a little Dr. King tape, and we're going to talk to you. At the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Doris Crenshaw and just kind of let you talk to in between. And I'm going to try to – Doris is going to be on me at 7 o'clock, so that means I'm going to try as much as possible to get this tape in. I probably won't get most of it in, and I don't care because I can play it later by civil rights being at the crossroads. I'm just kind of fooled this morning because I did see that MLK tape from Smithsonian, some of the news clippings, and watching with my grandchildren, you know, and having Jamoke asking me questions about why this granny and why that granny. I don't know. You're going to have to bear with me this morning, y'all. My heart is heavy. What they say is a lot of labor out there. We got a lot of stuff to do in the vineyard, but the labors are few. The vineyard is really heavy, y'all. And we got to call on the labor. We got to stop letting folks manipulate us out of position. I'm sorry. I was very disturbed to say being jealous, Sharpton and Valentine going to go put together us an agenda. Come on. Give up the blood, baby. Give up the blood. Don't play with me like that. Not when you just running interference. You're not trying to do nothing for black people. I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying don't run interference when black people are in pain. Dr. King gave his life. And all these folks doing running around here enjoying what he got and did what he, you know, I'm going to try to get myself together here today. Because y'all know how I'm in a strange place. Because when I look at black people and look at this community and look at all the mess and look at things going on and what's going on here and knowing that Dr. King died, my heart is pretty heavy this morning. We're going to have a good time. You listen to Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live on www.wvon.com. We are also on blackplanet.com. We are on group Facebook, .com. We are on iHeart. We are on iHeart Radio. I think I got it all. We are on www.wvon.com. You can also get me on the Blog Talk. I got to find out how you get me on Blog Talk. So I'm going to want you to, because I'm going to come. And then also, they're going to have a VOE inauguration party tomorrow. Y'all make sure y'all go over there. And they know it's not too much money to pay. $25 tickets in advance. Now you got to pay $30 at the door. But go, when you go downtown, you pay more than that when you go in the parking meter. They're going to have entertainment, dancing, and they're going to have this moment of Barack Obama being inaugurated, President Barack Obama being inaugurated on the day of Dr. King's birthday. Regardless how you feel about the president, whatever you want to say, it's all right that this moment in time for black folks and black children, for the seniors and the children, to see a black face being inaugurated on Dr. King's birthday. That's a tremendous visual image for young and the old. Get your coffee, get your tea. Come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690.
Aretha Franklin, Dinah Washington, and if you want to know who else, join us Saturday night at 10 p.m. on AM 1690 WVON, the talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation.
People have all kinds of excuses for not saving energy. I'll turn it off later, so we don't have those Energy Star appliances. Maybe it's time to stop making excuses and save the energy and resources we can.
You just never know what people will need in the future.
We can all help save more energy for tomorrow. What's your excuse? For more energy-saving tips that also save money, visit loseyourexcuse.gov/parents. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy, the Ad Council, and this station.
You've seen the movie, you've read the book. Now for the first time, experience it on stage as Broadway comes to Bronzeville in the John Ruffin Jr.'s adaptation of Imitation of Life. It's a story of a mother's unconditional love being rejected by a daughter in the midst of an identity crisis as she passes for white to make it in the world. It's a story of love, self-contempt, compassion, and ultimate redemption. It's must-see theater as Broadway and Bronzeville presents John Ruffin Jr.'s adaptation of Imitation of Life.
Join the Harold Washington Culture Center as we present Imitation of Life, opening Saturday, February 8th. For tickets, log on to TicketWeb.com or call 773-373-1900. This is a great opportunity for a fundraiser night at the theater, or for group details, log on to BroadwayandBronzeville.com. Imitation of Life, presented by the Harold Washington Culture Center. For more information, call 773-373-1900. See you at the theater.
There are all sorts of excuses for not saving energy. It's only one lamp. It's
just one TV. It's like all the way in the other room. What difference will it make if I turn things off when I'm done with them or not? If we switch to energy-saving light bulbs or put in a programmable thermostat,
how much energy and money could it possibly save? Sometimes I wonder if we could be more efficient with the energy we have now and tuck away more resources for later.
You know, it just never hurts to plan more for the future. My name is
Cole, and I'm going to get started.
We can all help save more energy for tomorrow. What's your excuse? For more energy-saving tips that also save money, visit loseyourexcuse.gov/parents. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy, the Ad Council, and this station.
Citizens of America, this is a message from Feed the Pig.
Thank you.
Say it loud, 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 say it loud. Hey, y'all. I'm back. Sorry, y'all got a little emotional there. I get emotional when it comes to Dr. King because I'm tired of folks playing this. We in trouble because folks done played the Dr. King game. It ain't no game, baby. It's about blood. Sorry. Sorry. It's about the blood. It's about these little brothers and sisters getting their butt kicked out here in the street. It's about these mamas. No place to stay. Hey, y'all. It's about these demons. Move the guns. Y'all even understand the problem. Pat was really good on Cliff Show yesterday. Pat, if you're listening, I really enjoyed you yesterday. Hey, it's about the blood. It's about, I know it was the blood for me. Hey, it's the blood, y'all. I'm going to have Doris Crenshaw on with me at 7 o'clock. She's one of the students, one of the people out of Alabama, who's still holding. She's going to talk about that youth institute that they're doing down there. You know, she's holding all that stuff together down there in Montgomery. And I told her we just need to have a little rap session at 7 o'clock. Okay, y'all, I'm back. You listen to Talk of Chicago. This is Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman. You're listening to the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live, www.wvon.com. We're on Block Talk. I got to ask Evan how to get me. I think, you going to Jimmy Chow? I got to figure out. He's going to type in how you get my blog. I'm blogged all the week afterwards, y'all. And people have been listening to me. My blog stuff is up. My goodness. My children had to talk me into getting Blog Talk Radio. Evan and Jimmy talked me into that. So, and the blog is up. Thank you, my bloggers, for listening and blogging and listening to my radio and sharing this stuff. That is really something. Blog Talk. And we're on www.wvon.com. We're also on iHeart. We're on iHeart Radio, y'all. And once again, before I get into what I'm doing, don't y'all forget on Monday to go to the Grand Ballroom and to celebrate the inauguration of our president, President Barack Obama. Tickets are $30. It's not too much to pay, y'all. Y'all can pay that. We just complain when we have to give up some of the black folks, but yet you said we need to live. So go on there, and as I said, it's a great visual image for the young and the old to see a black face as president and hold his hand on the Bible of Dr. King and whatever the other one is. You got the president's getting inaugurated and Dr. King's birthday. Regardless, whatever your feelings are about whatever, and I don't want to hear that, the idea of the visual stuff of what the child see, that black child see, and what that senior see before they make their transition. Now, I got a bank full of phone calls, and I'm gonna get into it. I'm trying to figure. I got so much to do. Maybe I want to play. I might save this tape. I'm not sure. Civil rights at a crossroad to next week. If we can move it ahead a little bit, Ebony, and get started into the meat of it, I might play it at some time. Tell Ebony to move ahead the tape. Move it ahead with the freedom, all that, and that way I can get started at a time when he starts. That'll help me out a little bit. I'm not going to talk back again about what I talked about yesterday, last week on the, I talked about the movement in Chicago last week. I tell you I was interested. I was told, you got 2 minutes to speak, Dawson. I gave y'all 2 minutes and I promised to finish it this week, but I'm not going to finish it this week. I'll finish it next week, so y'all forgive me for not finishing my statement that I made on the West Side last week. I'll try to finish it up next week. Okay, I woke up this morning with my mind on freedom. What about you, y'all? Did you wake up this morning with your mind on freedom? Hey, the Snake Freedom Singer. Wake up this morning with your mind on freedom. If you think about Dr. King, you got to be, baby. It's about freedom. It ain't about all this other mess, y'all. It is about freedom. It's about freedom. Let me go to the phone, I tell you. Good morning, Williams. Did you wake up this morning with your mind on freedom, my brother?
You know I did. You know, I was feeling your pain when you said you was kind of emotional this morning.
I'm very emotional because I'm tired of folks using Dr. King. They're whitewashing him. They're making folks think that he didn't fight. If Dr. King was here, he wouldn't be talking about no day of service. He wouldn't be playing. Dr. King would be in the street. I mean, to honor Dr. King, we need to hit the streets today. And I'm not talking about just playing for no low margin. I'm doing it. You look, you see blood coming down. Nobody playing about that.
Right. It's real serious, you know, and I'm just a little perturbed, not perturbed, but, you know, don't play with our emotions. You know, like this whole thing with the inauguration, the same weekend as Martin Luther King, you know, birthday and all that, you know, our emotions have been jerked around enough, you know, about, and it, like you said, it's too serious. And I was just, like, say, watching the president talking about the budget, and he was spewing out of his mouth about America has always paid its bill and never been a deadbeat nation. And it kind of, I was insulted by him saying that. Supposedly, he's supposed to be an intelligent man and a student of history, you know, and he's in denial about one bill that has never been paid. And I don't like him you know, spewing that stuff out of his mouth about the grandiose of America.
Well, you got to understand, I keep telling y'all, Williams, and I'm going to have to move on. I'm glad the image thing of the president being there was for the children to see him there, the image for the children and the old people and the young folks to be able to see both of those. You know, imagery is important. But the important thing that we must remember is that President Obama is not the black president. I mean, people like you and I, all the other folks in between, that he is president of the United States of America, and we whose face happen to be black. So that's the image you think. So understand that he's not the black president, then we operate differently.
Right, I understand that. You know, and I don't. You know, I'm glad that Merle Evers is going to be, you know, on, you know, in the program for the inauguration. But again, see, that's blood that has been spilt.
Well, everybody playing games, but this inauguration.
Yeah.
Even
yeah,
now, everybody
know,
playing games. This stuff is so deep. It's a moneymaker.
Yeah.
This stuff is moneymaker and jelly makers and to push us further in the ditch. Thank you, William.
You're welcome.
They plan on pushing us further in the ditch. Ain't nobody's really dealing with what our pains are with these brothers on the street. Brother Daniel.
Good morning, Alderman.
Hey,
Coleman.
Welcome. This morning,
how
my man on freedom. What about you?
It's absolutely on freedom. We're out there working every day to get freer from some of the things that are plaguing our communities.
Yes.
I agree with you about the jealous.
That's a joke, isn't it?
Yeah, well, actually, the whole thing about this black agenda to me.
I'm losing you. Are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm on my home phone, but it's
You might charge. You want you charge your battery a little bit if you don't want to walk around. I'll come back to you later because I can't hear you.
You can't hear me now?
Oh, I can't hear you. You can go on, but I'm not going to be able to keep you on because you're breaking all up.
Okay, well, I just want to say that we need to do something on the ground here with the resources that the president has sent here.
What did he send here for us?
Well, there's a lot of programs. If we read between the lines, we got some of the
I ain't reading between the lines. Dr. King got them bricks. Dr. King,
we got.
Hey, Dad.
You know, it almost sounds like we want our president to be.
Oh, no. I'm not arguing with you about what I want with him. I'm saying to you.
Alive, the first four years.
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about we don't need to read between the lines.
Yeah, but that's brother that got off. Everybody that seems to
but
call
I dealt him. With that. I mean, that's a waste of my time with Dr. King. I dealt with
They're
that.
They're making something historical and great, burdensome, and cumbersome.
I think I
and that's what I don't understand.
Well, people have a right to their opinion.
You know, I mean, that's real hurting to hear a black radio station.
I think you misinterpreted from William. I'm going to go on.
No,
I think
this is the most disrespected president we ever
had. I don't
had.
Think. Let's talk about it. We're not going to disrespect him today, so let's talk about it next week,
please,
okay?
Please,
stay on our freedom move.
Please. And I'm on the freedom move. Let's start some businesses, and let's put some people to work.
Okay, Reverend Daniels. Thank you. I love you.
Uh-huh.
No, we're not... saying that, I mean, I think black folks in pain, and they have a right to address. What some of our people are saying is that we don't have the right for regress because the face is black. If Dr. King was here, he'd be in the street. We'd be up in there. We'd be tearing the White House up right now. And that have nothing to do with whether we love or don't love the president. But I do think that it's a good imagery for our children and our seniors to see this black man putting his hand on the Bible with Dr. King. I don't want to, I mean, let's not confuse the pain with the image in terms of what young children see. My grandchildren are happy to see him. They are so happy to see that president there, I tell you. Hello, Gary, Dr. King, history.
Black.
And
black,
I'm double black.
Good morning. It's the first time I got to talk to you personally.
Who are you?
Gary.
Oh, I thought you was from Gary. It's good to talk to you, Gary. Got a nice voice.
Yeah, well, they keep telling me I need to be on the radio. That's from one's lips to God's ears, okay?
Okay, well, just call me. That's how you get on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, what we're experiencing here for the last, I guess, 50, 60, 70 years is what is known as revisionist history. There's an old saying about half of writing history is hiding the truth. And when you look at our textbooks and the things that we get taught in schools about our history, it's a lot of lying through omission, lying through distortion.
Right.
And obfuscation and smoke screening and you said whitewashing. That's the general term to cover all the other kind of things that's going. And
yeah, what they're doing is they're so setting us back, and we're going to do a whole thing around the state of the black community during Black History Month. That's going to be our whole all 4 weeks. Because what they're doing is they're not letting us know what's going on, so our children are messed up. Even they have taken Dr. King, changed his speeches. Changed everything around and redone everything, and we buy into it. I don't buy into this garbage.
You know what would be wonderful when they have the presentation of Dr. King, and instead of going to the soundbite of "I Have a Dream," go to the very beginning of his speech when he first walked up and hear it in its entirety, and people would know that he wasn't just talking about a dream. You know,
talk about reparation.
Yeah, and thing is that when you said whitewash. Notice that you stressed the word white, okay? And I sit there and think about how when black folks operate and interact in this power structure in this society, how they want us to be more palatable,
yeah,
by being more like them.
Be
you know?
Good, be good, you Negroes. Don't hang around folks like Doris and Tillman. And in fact, when Doris come on, we're gonna talk about how these folks try to make sure that the real black folks who know Dr. King don't tell the truth. They pay all these other folks money to come, and then they do all this other stuff, and they just say that they don't want the truth told.
That's what I'm saying. And the thing is that when someone speaks up and speaks up forthrightly and honestly, like yourself, like Muhammad Ali, like Dr. King, like Harold Washington, and a number of others of us, they all of a sudden they become uppity Negroes,
right?
Know?
And black folks get scared and run from them, say you're too black. Thank you. I gotta go because I want to get more in. Okay.
Love you now.
I woke up this morning with my mind on freedom.
I tell you,
oh freedom over me, oh freedom over me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh freedom over me, y'all. And before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave.
Oh,
gonna pause that right there, y'all. We coming back and hear that in a minute. I tell you, it's really something. I tell you, Maurice, how you doing?
Good morning, Dorothy. God bless you, sister.
And also you.
Went to bed with my mind on freedom last night. Got up in the same frame of mind.
Ooh, come on, my brother.
God bless you. And Ebony, welcome back. quickly, Dorothy, on a sad note, the remains of my mom, Annie Nichols, will be flown back from Phoenix, Arizona on next Friday.
Oh, well, you have my blessings.
Thank you, Dorothy.
And condolences of my entire people, of my audience, and my show, and my family.
Thank you so much, sister. And I know
what it is to lose a mother. There's nothing like losing a mother.
I know when you were in Florida going through the same thing.
Right. When you lose your mother, boy, it's a whole other feeling.
But she had an 88-year run, a real good run, and 12 dysfunctional children with a capital D.
Well, it might not be too dysfunctional. She had you. But just think you had her and what a blessing it was.
That's right, Dorothy. That's right. I love each and every one of my immediate as well as my extended family, Dorothy.
Okay. Well, thank you, and you have our condolences, Maurice.
Thanks. Real quick, a must read for us. It's funny how you were on the West Side here. I got a book about the West Side when our people got off the trains at the Union Station and what they went through with that housing situation, them contract buying. Ooh,
you know, we're going to talk about that during Black History Month, so make sure you call me back. Oh, but somehow they did them.
Your name is in this book, Dorothy.
That's North. You talking about the Northern protest?
Yes, sir. Oh,
you got
man,
Jimmy
man.
Wilson and all of them. The restrictive
man,
cover,
man.
The one we fought
yes,
for. We fought
Look,
against.
Real quick, I'm gonna say this and I'm out of here. On civil rights, I was born civil, and I know I'm right.
I like that. See you, Maurice.
So,
thank you, Maurice. We gonna be all right here. I tell you, I wanted to play some of Dr. King, but I might not be able to play him to next week. Civil rights at a crossroad. I really want to play. I don't know how many minutes that is because I'm going to get Doris on in a few minutes. So I might not be able to get him or get him on. Manson. Hello.
Hey, Hotel.
To you too, my brother.
Hey. Hey. Happy King Day.
To you too.
Hey, listen, one of his favorite.
I ain't so happy to all these brothers get jobs, though. I would say, Brother Happy King Day, let's get out and fight day.
Yeah, I was, in fact, one of my favorite quotes of Dr. King, Sister Dorothy. Is when he said, quote, "Don't just sit down and do nothing, or our people will be in the dungeons of despair for another 100 years.
Right.
End of quote.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
wise counsel that we
That's
need
the man
to
I knew. See, I don't know this other person they're talking about. These people, they're making folks sit down and be scared.
Yeah, I'm really against this co-optation, you know, combining this thing with the inauguration. There's some problems there. But
well, the reason I'm not, and even though you probably surprised, I'm not, because you got to deal with imagery, and water reaches its own level, and he is the first Black president face there, and there's an imagery for the seniors and for the babies.
Well, perhaps President Obama will get the courage to at least call Dr. King by his name.
Rather than that preacher from Georgia,
preacher
huh?
Preacher from Georgia.
Now, that's what I get angry about. He keep calling Dr. King that preacher from Georgia.
This is ridiculous, man. But anyway, the main reason I called, I wanted to inform your listeners that Sister Jeanette Herrera, like she did last year when she brought you up to
Milwaukee.
Yeah,
I had a good time up there.
Well, they're having the King Fest this Monday, and the doors open at 12 noon, and
okay.
They're going to be at the African-American Women's Center like we were last year.
Yeah, man, so would you come by and get some flyers to take up there for me for the Imitation of Life when you go, okay?
Okay, and it's at 3020-3020 West Villette, V-L-I-E-T, Villette Street, Milwaukee, 12 noon to 6 p.m. The program actually begins at 2 p.m., and we're going to have the great Dr. Iva Carruthers be the keynote, you know, this time around. And you can call Jeanette Herrera at 414-828-1410. That's
okay,
414-828-1410. That's this Monday, y'all. So
get on up there. It's a
us.
Good time to be there with those women in the Women's Center,
yeah,
and I really enjoyed it.
Travel with us up to Milwaukee and support Jeanette Herrera.
Yeah, she's a great sister. But I want to make sure I get some flyers to you. I'm going to try to get some to you so you can take them with you, okay?
Okay, it's called the King Festival 2013 in Milwaukee this Monday.
And if you're listening in Milwaukee, get on over there. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah, Milwaukee, I had a good time up there. Yesterday. I had a real good time. A real, real good time. Ms. Huntington?
828-1410.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm blessed. And I know that we are celebrating Dr. King's birthday, and I know that we are talking about freedom, but I want to ask everybody that they will go and buy the freedom stamps and that they will write to their congressman and tell them to save the post office, because this is the last bastion of more black employees that the Congress is trying to get rid of.
Okay.
And I think the vote at the Congress about the post office will be taken next week.
Well, let's
and
talk
I
about
urge...
it next week. We'll talk about it next Saturday, Ms. Huntington.
Okay.
Thank you.
And you all have a blessed day, and I'm looking forward to hearing Doris Crenshaw.
And you looking? And you come? You bringing a group to the Invitation to Life?
Oh yes, oh yes. And
you and your sister, y'all
there.
Bringing some groups. We got groups. A lot of folks coming out to see Invitation to Life.
We will be there on opening night.
Thank you. Let me say, a lot of groups are coming out. Senior groups. If you want to have a special for your senior group. Senior, we have a matinee day, call 773-373-1900, or you want Friends and Family Day, VON got a night. The Imitation of Life is going to be off the chain. I think it's going to be something that Dr. King is going to like. How many minutes I got over there, Ms. Engineer? Okay, wake up, finish the song I was playing, Oh Freedom Over Me. You've been listening to Talk of Chicago, 69 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on iHeart, www.wvon.com. You're on iHeartRadio, you're on Blog Talk. Get your coffee, get your tea. Come on back, talk to me. I'll be right back.
Ring. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I've been to the mountaintop, y'all. It's at 7 o'clock hour. My leader, when you hear his voice in the 7 o'clock hour, you know what time it is, y'all. It's the 7 o'clock hour. I've been to the mountaintop. It is time to take that deep breath, y'all. Wherever you are in the country, wherever you are in the world, take that deep breath. It is that time that you should be more than anything proud to say this. I know y'all scared. Black. One more time, y'all. Courtney, Ebony, wherever y'all love. Black. Don't that feel good, y'all? I know y'all say I'm rushing this hour because I got to get to Doris and my phone is lit up. And I want y'all to hang in there. What line is Doris on here? I don't see her. You going to lock her in for me, Courtney, so I can know which one she is. She's not on yet? On line one? Okay. Talk to me, Courtney. I tell you. All right here. I'm trying to see what Courtney tell him. I think I got my guest on the phone. But anyway, I got Doris coming, you know, on the phone with me today. So we can talk about it. You know, her student youth institute that we got down there, you know, Dr. in Montgomery and all the stuff that we're doing. Do you have Doris locked in? If not, I'm going to the phone. Is Doris locked in? Hello? Hello, Jean?
Hey, Miss Hatt, how are you?
Hurry up, I got
to
go. Okay.
I just want to thank you for all that you are doing to lift us up. But Dr. King had more than a dream. He laid a foundation for us to follow.
Yes.
And we have not followed that. And I get so sick and tired of people pimping off his name with these prayer breakfasts and not helping the people. You are really a great, great woman.
Thank you.
We should come together and help each other. You have laid your mark. It's so much we can do together. And I want to thank you and continue to do the work that you're doing, Sister Hatt.
I thank you. You know, one of the things that we have to do, I think, we got to stop playing this game of celebration.
Right.
And we got to get out here and emulate and do what we got to do here. We got to do it.
Right. They had them breakfast once a year, and you don't hear from them no more.
It's
as
a money-making
Dr. King
thing
said,
them.
No man is free until we all are free.
Well, that's a moneymaker more so. When I was looking at some tapes with my grandchildren last night, and I'm looking at the blood, I was crying. My grandkids were saying, my God, Jamocha, look at all that blood. Then they begin to see the blood that was flowing. They understand we gave up blood. This wasn't no game.
Yes.
This is real.
Right.
Okay.
And it wasn't no Rainbow Coalition, that's the trouble. We bring everybody else into our business. They take our ideas and suggestions and run with it, and they overcome, and we still left back here struggling.
Well, you know, people can't fight with you unless you're fighting for yourself.
Right.
And we got to fight. If we fight for what we believe in, people will join, and we can lay our blueprint. But we go right here sitting back scared. Hey, I'm telling you. Thank you. I think I got my guest on the phone now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Is Doris on the line?
I am.
Okay. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, Miss Lady.
Good morning, my sister.
Did you wake up this morning with your mind on freedom?
Yes, ma'am. Every morning.
Every morning. Every morning. I've been playing this Sweet Honey and the Rock and SNCC Freedom Singers today.
Amen.
I've been playing them in your memories. I've been having a good time this morning. But you know, Doris, I was really, by the way, y'all, my guest is Doris Crenshaw. And I just love Doris. We're from Alabama together. Doris has been the one down there that's holding together that movement for Dr. King. When you saw the Rose of the Boycott, she was down to help coordinate that. When you see all the stuff that keeping Montgomery, all the history of Montgomery together and really telling that story, very close to the King children, but also very close to that movement, that youth coming out of Montgomery, those youth. Doris was just a few years older than me. But the youth movement that she came out of, she went around all over the country fighting. And what I love about Doris right now, and we're going to put a link, we got a link on our Facebook. She's with the Southern Youth Leadership. She have a group where she's working with young folks to pass this on. And I'm very proud of this. We're going to talk about Dr. King this morning, what he was about. And then we're going to talk about how we got to take these youth and what we got to do, Doris. And one of the things, I was watching this, when you called me last night, I was watching this tape. And I cried, you know, when I looked at all the blood and stuff. I saw Leon, I saw James Orange, I saw Bernard Lee. You know, I'm looking at these folks. I saw Lester. I mean, Evan didn't understand why I broke down. But you understand why I broke down, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And then when you had told me Cotton Rita died this week, I just broke down. I couldn't take it. I mean, I hadn't broken down like that in a long time. I'm looking at them, they gone. I'm looking at the blood. And I'm looking at Dr. King said he's willing to die. And then I'm seeing these people playing about freedom and playing about what's going on with our people. So let's talk about the Dr. King that you and I knew. And when we talk about where we was and what we did and how the youth, the movement was fueled by the youth, and as we moved and where we are today and where we have to go tomorrow. Can we do that a little bit?
We can try that.
Okay, the floor is open for you, my sister, and I love you.
I want to thank you, and I want to thank the listeners today.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk a little bit about me as a youth, 12 years old, being one of the ones to pass out the leaflets announcing the boycott.
You knew with Hazel Robertson and all of them. You knew all of them, Ms. Robertson and all these people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we must be cognizant of the fact that women and children were the backbone of the Montgomery bus boycott.
Right.
I think about Dr. King. I was 12, and a lot of the big words that he used I did not understand, but I felt him.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that we were all raised in the church and the Bible, and I want people to, as they look at the pictures in history, they saw us going to jail with our books and the Bible.
The book, we went to jail with book and Bible. That's right, Doris. We
went to the Bible.
Uh-huh.
Until later, when the people came down from the north, that we began to wear the overalls and the jeans and the other distractions that they brought.
Right.
But I was inspired by Dr. King's presence in the room,
mm-hmm.
not really understanding what he was talking about when he talked about agape love.
Right.
Having been brought up in the church, his dedication to his faith in God and his faith in our people and his courage was inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
He was sometimes a joking man, but he was a man of depth, well-read,
mm-hmm.
that we read,
mm-hmm.
that we love
right.
each other, and that all men were our brothers, and we were equal to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I am reminded today, and I want to say this, and I want to talk about Dr. King in terms of, I'm very upset right now because we are casting him as a man who went to Washington and said he had a dream.
Right.
Doris must remember
mm-hmm.
that. I know you do remember that he, in that speech, before he said he had a dream, He said, we came to Washington to collect on a check marked insufficient funds. And as we celebrate the election of a black president, we must remember that we are still in Washington to collect on a check marked insufficient funds.
Come on with it, girl. You better come on. Who?
Yeah.
That's right. Come on. Teach.
Say what you say, Dorothy?
I said teach, my sister.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He said that this is not the time. This is not the time for us to cool out. It's not time for taking that tranquilizing drug of gradualism.
Mm-hmm.
President, like other presidents,
right,
have told us to, it's going to trickle down. We don't want the trickle down. We should want our freedom now. We should want equality for our children now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the only way that we will get it is to petition the government. The same government that President Obama is in charge of now has a responsibility to its citizens.
Right.
Deliver on health care for us and our children.
Mm-hmm.
It has the responsibility, and you have a responsibility to not to stop fighting for what we need. We have to fight.
Mm-hmm.
We have to petition these corrupt elected officials, and we must get them out of office.
Mm-hmm.
We must start now. And, I know in Chicago I fought in political campaigns up there with Doris and
the
Harold Washington.
One of the masters. You one of the masters, Doris. Doris, uh-huh, one of the masters, came here with Dr. King. Also, you came up here and helped organize some precincts for Harold Washington when he was running. I want people to know that you are not a stranger to Chicago, but even though you're in Montgomery and you're not a stranger, even though you're just a few years older than me, you're one of those students who came out of that movement. And you're very clear, and that's why I'm glad you're being clear now, and I'm kind of letting you teach because they hear my voice every week. Because, as you said in the beginning, the women, all these women and children, and that's why when Bev Smith said we got to pull the women together to call it to order to fight, when I see how you're pulling together the honor of Ms. Robertson and all these women, they don't know all these women in Montgomery who really held this movement together.
But, the other thing is that we talk about and celebrate and the people whose names we know.
Mm-hmm.
But this movement in Montgomery was put together that sometimes they called us the nobody.
We still the nobody. Hey, Doris, we're still the nobody. The problem is because we are somebody.
Let me say this, that women of no means put together and collected $18 and started a club called the Club from Nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Headed up by a woman named Georgia Gilmore.
Uh-huh.
Sold sandwiches at first prior to the mass meetings, but then they began to sell dinners. And they sold those dinners to help the Montgomery Improvement Association operate the carpools. When we first started, we didn't have help from around the country.
No.
It was the poor people, poor women.
And their children.
And their children.
Mm-hmm.
That first of all, we were ones that rode the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And that up because sometimes today, I don't know what it is now, but up when I was up there, the largest public housing complex in America was the Robert Taylor Home.
They're torn down now, like all over the country. They've torn down public houses. There's no houses for poor people.
Yeah. So it was those folks in Robert Taylor Homes,
mm-hmm,
and the people on the west side,
right,
pool halls, that came together and supported us. I'm saying that's because.
That's right, Doris.
The increase in number of poor people.
Mm-hmm.
We have an increase in number of poor people who feel helpless, but we are not helpless.
Right.
And that's one thing that was inspiring about Dr. King when he said, anybody can be famous, because anybody can serve. It's not be famous, Doris.
He's anybody. Everybody can be great because
everybody
can serve.
Right.
But you wait, Doris, but he didn't mean a day of service, sitting somewhere serving some food. And that's what, I mean, like these people talking about money should be a day of service. Money should be a day of protest, really. You know, when he said serve, they've taken that out of context too, haven't they?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, service. We're obligated from our teachings in the Bible to serve every day.
Right.
And basically, Dr. King's words came from the Bible.
Right.
He was a man of God, and he put together the teachings of Mahatma Gandhi around the whole principle of nonviolence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing. We got to make time and get out of this debate about these guns.
Because it's not about guns, it's about these resources. Dr. King got a whole speech. He talks about this in terms of resources and poverty. And
we got to recognize this is still a society that creates the realities that make it possible for people to buy this enormous amount of guns and ammunition.
Uh-huh.
What we're talking about is the greed that undergirds the corporate American psyche.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about greed. We were talking about greed in 1955, 57 years ago. But we can't lay back and chill out. We don't have time to recline when one out of three black males are in jail.
Come on, teach my sister, my Alabama sister.
We don't have the luxury. We don't have time to talk about what somebody is not doing. I remember a speech in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
When we marched, Dorothy, we had that big thing of in Soldier Field.
Over there we marched, and we would have put that tacked that stuff on Dale's door.
That he quoted Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about Joshua walking around the walls of Jericho. We must still. We say we're in the Joshua generation. Well, we must talking it out,
yeah,
and walk it out.
Come on, no top talking and start walking. It's time for action.
Talking about what Obama is not doing. Obama is doing what we allow Obama to do.
You better come on, teach.
And we think back to little children marching like Dorothy Tillman. Well, she wasn't nothing but a little children.
9 years old when I met him.
Freedom.
9 years old, Doris, at the Hope Street Baptist Church with my grandmother, like your grandmother. My grandmother.
Doris, I tell you, I don't think, I'm a little afraid for some of us who are not children, who do not teach their children as you teach your children.
Mm-hmm.
That what happened in the past and how to apply that to the right now, because the past is right now.
Well, you know what, Doris? One of the things is there's a whitewash, a messed up of our history, a runaway. That's why I like what you're doing with your Southern Youth Leadership Institute, and how when I called and was talking to those young people yesterday, you're working with the young people, and I'm looking forward to coming out in March. But how you're working with the young people. And one of the things that I like that you're doing, the fact that you worked in Washington, but you a long time ago, you came back home, and you're down there organizing these students throughout Alabama to make sure that the history of Ms. Robinson, these women, these children, the Dorothy Wright Tillman, the Doris, the Mildred Smith, the Lulu Williams, all of these folks, you know, the Leon Halls, that you're teaching these students from Montgomery through Birmingham, all over Alabama, what we did. You call them the footsteps, I think. Would you call them footsteps?
Yes.
And I like you doing that. You're teaching the youth, and that's what we got to do. But we also, you're teaching them about action. You're teaching them about action because Dr. King.
Yes, and what I will remember. want to say is that all we did was follow what the Bible taught us to do.
Right.
That's all we did, and that's all you must do. That's what you must do today. We must go back to the Bible.
But the difference, Doris, was I had Reverend Fields at the Bell Street Church. And what church did you go to when you was growing up?
Mount Zion, Amy Zion Church.
You had Mount Zion, that was Hope Street. We had ministers that was progressive enough to teach us the real meaning of that Bible and to teach us about fighting and what it meant to be. You didn't have people playing games with people. So what you have now is, I like the Dr. King kind of teaching interpretation of the Bible. We had people who love their people and understood how to push them and to take the Bible and know that God said so and that it was all right.
And I want to say, too, Dorothy, we must remember just as today that we talk about Rosa Parks and look at her as being a woman who was tired one day, sat on the bus, and wouldn't move.
That's not true.
Rosa Parks and her husband were members of the NAACP who fought for the Scottsboro vote.
Right.
Rosa Parks was a woman who gathered the information. And I want to say this, too, that years before Mrs. Parks was arrested,
right,
many, many women in this city
yes.
were arrested, but they were not taken to jail. They were taken out somewhere and raped.
Right.
Policemen in Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
She had gotten tired of that.
Mm-hmm.
And before we could get the ministers to join in this movement to do something about these buses, the women, the Women's Political Council, was having meetings with the Montgomery County Commissioners. We didn't have a city government.
No, we didn't. Everything was ran by the governor, by Wallace and all of them.
It was the Montgomery City Commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
That they had the courage, the Women's Federated Club and the Women's Political Council, to go down and start negotiating with people, with the officials, with the authorities, about having some decency and stop mistreating our children. And Ms. Parks said when she was arrested, which was the second time that she was arrested. She had been arrested 12 years before by the same bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, when are you going to stop messing up things and stirring up things? And she said, when are you going to stop mistreating us?
Uh-huh.
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
And she was quiet in her way, but she had a strong conviction about the freedom of our people, as she would say.
Right. You know,
now, talk about Dr. King.
Mm-hmm.
In this town, just as in this town today, and in Chicago, and in New York, and in New Orleans, and in Memphis, and all over this country, you have self-appointed leaders.
Come on, teach.
We're the only people that talk about where's our leader.
Mm-hmm.
We are our leaders, and we must come together. If it's not but five but ten, come together around a purpose. As in most cities, it's the education system and the prison system.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we must
the education.
Fight.
Wait, the education, prison, the economics, jobs for jobs. I mean, jobs. You know, jobs for our young men, for our families. You
yes,
know.
And we must
yes.
remember that we can create jobs for our people.
Right.
If we stop getting every check we get every week or every month, and our first stop is the bank, is the mall.
Buying that hair in the mill. But also we have a right to the resources. We got to, while we're doing that, we got to fight for the resources.
We got enough spending power, Dorothy.
I got you. I'm with you. Mm-hmm.
If we pool our resources, and we stop our children from going. We don't need to wear Mr. Gucci's name on. We should be the same off around here with Louis Vuitton and Gucci.
Mm-hmm. We're making
wearing
everybody,
that name.
Everybody
all
rich,
that money.
Everybody rich while we were suffering. But we, and then while we're doing, we got to have a threefold, twofold, the resources too. One of the things, Doris, is that you know, like you knew Miss Robinson, Hazel Robinson, and what I love about it is what you have done with these women. You put them back and have honored them, and they've been dying off. You will call me and tell me whoever, another one have died, another one have died. And the work that you, Doris Crenshaw, is doing in Alabama, Birmingham, and Montgomery, and across, to get not only to tell the people our age and other folks, but the youth, how you're working with. Will you tell me something about the Southern youth leadership?
The thing is, you talk about Dr. King, Dorothy.
Okay. But that's part of it.
His sister said when they built that monument,
uh-huh.
He didn't want a monument.
No.
He wouldn't want all that. He didn't seek publicity.
No.
He didn't seek money. He told us we didn't need money if we had friends with money.
Mm-hmm.
We use what we have.
And that God would supply our needs.
God would supply us with what we need.
Right. And God did, Doris. What folks don't, Doris, what folks don't know is that every city that we went into, people put us up. They housed us. We had no money. And not only that, we had doctors that took care of us. God did supply our every need. And that's a fact. Am I correct?
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And we still don't have money.
Mm-hmm.
We have people out here pimping our movement with money,
mm-hmm.
but we don't have money.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to, I just want us to get off of this having a dream thing about Dr. King.
Mm-hmm.
Having a dream.
Well, you know,
you know,
those of us who was close to Dr. King and who worked and put our life on the line, we know. And we understood, and that's why we work with him and all the other people you're talking about. Dr. King called for equality for the Negroes. And so those of us who know, but you also, Doris, as we were talking the other day, we are disciples of Martin Luther King Jr. And they
right.
are just as mean to us as they were to Dr. King. People don't know about that. The people who are really trying to carry Dr. King's work, Doris should be around the country today telling the story, but you knew and worked with Dr. King, so you don't get Doris, you don't do this, you be mean, you hold that down and get somebody else, because we got to tell our story. So as a disciple, I'm a disciple, you're a disciple, there's a lot of disciples spread all over this country. People are very mean to us, Doris, you know that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
No, and that's because of what you're telling today. You're not, Doris not supposed to tell this story. And I know, regardless of what you say, at 12 years old on, you dedicated your life to the liberation of black people, and you gave it all, and you did pay a price. The floor is yours, Doris.
We you know, we somebody told us about a made-up mind.
Yeah.
We have to make up our mind
mm-hmm.
that we are going to take care of ourselves. And I heard you say, as I was coming into this, on the air.
Mm-hmm.
We must take care of ourselves. And as we began, as you say, to take care of ourselves, other people will come in and help you. I heard the lady said we didn't have the Rainbow Coalition, but the movement did have, even here in Montgomery, some white folk. And we got to remember, white folks are about the business of taking care of white folks.
Come on, Doris.
We got to be about the business of taking care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And those people who mistreat us, we got to petition them.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
To do what is right by the workers
right.
that they work.
Right.
Equivalent to we've transferred from the cotton plantation to the concrete plantation.
Ooh, my sister, you better come on. Teach my sister.
But you can't have a plantation mentality. For somebody. God has all of us here for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And we are taught by the Bible to serve,
mm-hmm.
help the least of these. And you help yourself. Help yourself. Begin in your house. Helping yourself. Beginning with what's happening in terms of your health care. You can't, Obama has his health care system. And God bless him. And we are happy that we were part of Dorothy Tillman in a special way. But me, she brought him down here to me.
I sure did. Folks don't know I brought him down there to you when he was senator. I sure did.
And we worked to elect him president, and I'm very happy. Don't be confused.
Brought him down, but he wanted to be senator. You lifted him up down there and lifted him real high. Most folks don't know that story that I brought Obama to you down in Alabama.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want us to, as we move into this celebration of this inauguration, let's celebrate that.
Mm-hmm.
But also let us go and try to collect on this check.
I'm with that.
Before he had the check, we were never given that 40 acres and mule.
That's right. And Dr. King was very clear.
That.
Dr. King was the first one I heard talk about reparations. Dr. King taught me, and you two taught us all about Africa, all this stuff. This man was truly the Christ. I don't care about it. I'm his disciple. He was the Christ. He was truly, he taught, and he was not afraid, and he laid it all out. Dr. King wasn't none to be played with. We came to collect on this check, and we got to reiterate that, Doris. I'm with you. Let me do this, Doris. I'm going to try to take a few calls. I got about 15 minutes, I think, left. I'm going to try to take a few calls. Then I want to play, at least play, let me just play a little freedom song on here. Play me one of them. I ain't going to keep your eyes on the prize. I'm going to keep your eyes on the prize for a moment, Doris. I want to thank you. You're so wonderful. I want to play a little of this music, take calls, and come back. I just love you so much.
Okay.
And no money for the gold there.
That's the freedom singers, Doris. You know them. Betty Gerard come from them.
Summer Gospel Trio.
Huh?
I went to the Highlander Folk School and Guy Carawan organized them to travel around this city and this country singing freedom songs, raising money for the Montgomery Improvement Association. And these were junior high school girls.
Right. And I played some Sweet Honey in the Rock, too. Your sister sang with them, don't she?
My sister sang with the Harambe Singers.
Uh-huh.
We are organized in Atlanta after Dr. King was killed, and it was so chaotic and everybody scattered. So we organized a group called the Harambe Sisters.
Uh-huh.
Of course, in the poor neighborhoods, and I had vegetable gardens and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decided to put a singing group together with Bernice Regan and my sister and others, who were the Harambe Singers.
And they go around singing freedom songs. Now, I was talking to my engineer, Courtney, who's very young, and she was saying, they all a cappella, there's no music, Miss Tillman. I said, well, no, that's where the freedom movement was. She never knew. Let me try to take just a couple of calls. I don't know how many minutes I got, but I'm going to try to take just a couple. Pam, how you doing? Be 30 seconds, Pam.
I am well, thank you. I am enjoying this. Alderman Tillman, if the Alderman did one-fourth of what you did to really try to support Dr. King's cause and the work, we'd be better off. I'd love to meet Ms. Doris as well as many of the other women.
Well, you're going to meet her because let me tell you, Pam, we're going to put together a group of women. We're going on this bus tour with Bev and all, and we're going to pull the women together. You'll get a chance to meet her. I'm going to take you to Alabama to meet her.
I'm a part of it. And lastly, Dr. King's birthday and his life was much more. He didn't talk about a day of service. If you want to talk about something, tell me a cause you're willing to give your life for, and then show me the work. We cannot relegate his birthday, his holiday, to just volunteering and paying at a school or giving out food. He was much more than that. And the National Association of Black Journalists should not let these media outlets just take over the propaganda about his life and his holiday and the celebration of it.
Thank you, Pam. I got to go because I want to take two more calls. Doris, I'm going to take three calls, and Doris can respond. Thanks, Pam. I'm going to take you to Alabama. We're going to take a whole bunch of women to Alabama to be with Ms. Doris in March. We're going to go in Women's Month. Darnell, 30 seconds.
ahead, Tillman.
I'm sorry, darling.
I didn't have the pleasure to be there at that time, but I'm going to say, as a student of history, I noticed at the end of Martin Luther King's life, when he started to talk to Malcolm X, that's when people started to get worried. And they was like, we got to take this man out because he's starting to get a little bit more revolutionary.
Okay,
and
well, hold on. I'm going to let George answer that, too. I think they took Dr. King out because of economics, Darnell. Call me now. You only got 30 seconds now because we ain't got that much time, and I'm trying to get all these calls in.
Yes,
all
right,
now. Okay, hold on, Doris. Just write down the questions, Doris, because I'm going to try to take a bunch of calls. My board is lit up. Weatherspoon, 30 seconds.
God bless you.
This is Reverend Weatherspoon. Yes, sir.
God bless you, daughter. I'm enjoying it. And there's freedom now. We got freedom now. We have to free the people's mind.
Okay. Well, Dora's going to talk about that. She's writing this stuff down. She's going to cover it all in a WAP. I'm just going to try to take a bunch of calls. I don't want to leave my board all lit up. Williams, real quick.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Doris. Thank you, Dorothy, for having Doris, for enlightening our mentalities. You know, now is the time. I've said to you all along, Dorothy, in my calls, that we have taken Mr. King's legacy. We have taken his heart, work and his sacrifice, and we've allowed others to cause it to be in vain. Okay. I want to thank you. I'm going to leave some information with Courtney. I can provide that transportation for
okay.
you.
Okay. Thank you. Jordan, take the information. We're taking some women to Montgomery in March. We're going to Montgomery. We're going to kick off this stuff that Doris is talking about. Get his number. We're not playing about this. Doris?
Yes.
Just answer all of them. See, we're going to bring some women. We coming for Women's Month for you to celebrate. I know it's your birthday. We're going to turn it into your birthday, but we're going to turn it into all that stuff. We coming to Montgomery. I'm going to talk to Belle. The women going to come and where it started from and move on out. You like that?
I love that.
Okay, well, so try to answer some of the stuff real quick that the people had said, and I'm going to try to go back to the phone.
Unfortunately, Doris, I did not write down what they said.
But that's all right. You got the essence of it. Just talk.
He
said that Dr. King got taken out because of Malcolm. I'm saying no, it's because of economics. And the other thing was Pam was saying.
Dr. King got taken out. One thing, they started to worry about him when he started to discuss the Vietnam War. And then this monumental movement took fire across this nation against the war in Vietnam. Following that, he was organizing the Poor People's Campaign, and we had moved from the civil to the civil rights.
Spell
it was
about CIVIL to the SILVER, money, economics.
Black check.
Right.
The check took him out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And then, and you remember, Doris, a bunch of black leaders came together and denounced Dr. King. And when black folks come together to denounce another black leader, they set him up for assassination. Remember all them leaders? We won't call them names. People can Google. Remember all
but
them
I
leaders?
Remember very well, and I will say it, that Dr. King introduced me to Dorothy Height, and she asked me to come work for her.
Right.
Immediately after that, Collier Lafayette and Bernard and some of them mm-hmm. were in New York City
mm-hmm.
organizing around the war, against the war in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so... They had aluminum foil around the windows
mm-hmm.
To try to keep the police signals
from
out.
From bugging us. We put foil on stuff so they can't bug what you're saying. Uh-huh.
The Roy Wilkins and the so-called leaders at that time
mm-hmm.
got a full-page ad in the New York Times denouncing Dr. King for his stand.
That's
and
right.
I rode back with him from New York to Atlanta. He asked me to get Dorothy Height to take her name off that, and I did.
Mm-hmm. And you
the war in Vietnam and fighting for our civil rights.
Right.
As they said, he's got to go. And he merged with Cesar Chavez. That was more of a threat to him when he began to pull all these people together.
Mm-hmm.
But let us also remember that and we tell them that it was our movement, but we were happy to welcome some
people.
Of the folks
right.
and the white folks and other people, Chavez and others, who began to join our leaders. And let me say, we do need coalitions of people of goodwill of all kinds to join us in this humongous fight. This fight This is a battle. This is a war. And we are fighting the establishment in America, this military, industrial, and the prison complex.
That's right.
I didn't tell you, Dorothy, but about 10 years ago, what, two blacks were at a meeting in New York that was pulled together by the heads of some of these largest corporations, and they discussed the entrepreneurship of prison.
Uh-huh.
And we've allowed our children to honor the prison culture. We've got to look internally at ourselves and our children walking around with their pants on.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them put them on backwards because they got it out of the prison.
Right, that's what they got them. And also on the stock market, when you was up there and they came together, they said, we're going to put them on the stock market and he's going to make money off of it. So all across our children, money's being made off of them. And then you get down to the records, the rap records. Most of the folks like this rap that's going on, they won't talk about the guns, but not the violence and the music that the music industry. Now you know, Ron Emanuel, brother, got a lot of hip hop, Kashif and all of them that's on their label. So it's to them to have guns and to do all that. They still make money and all across the board. You get arrested here, end up in Tennessee. So I agree with you about the prison complex and all the other things that's going on. And Dr. King addressed that too, Doris. I don't know whether you have any of his quotes when he addressed poverty and when he addressed what was going on with black folks in terms of the jails and the condition they was in.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Now, the other question that they raised was what, Dorothy?
She wanted to know, I'm trying to remember, Pam said she was going to come down, and Pam wanted to know how they celebrate Dr. King. And Dr. King was more than just a dream that they celebrate him and just wiping us out and we just got to move. And she was talking about the politicians and stuff. But go on. We got 9 minutes left, so I want you to just go on and talk. They'll call. Oh, well, let me get Mama D and see what she's saying.
Okay.
Okay. Is Mama D gone? I don't want to take Doris off. Mama D gone. Okay. So, Doris, we got to come down in March. I'm going to start. I'm going to talk to Bev Smith. I told you, we're going to meet you, Bev, and a few of us somewhere between here and there. And try to lay this thing out and get these women together. And they began to take these girls. See, when you know, nobody told me that I was a B when I was growing up. And nobody told me I was even poor. You know I'm off McGowan Street, Doris, so you know what McGowan Street is like.
Yes.
I was told that I could do anything that I want to do.
That's right.
And Reverend Fields taught us that we could stand up and fight. If anybody had opened their mouth to call me, I never degraded myself. So what they've done is, they've taken these young ladies we got to work with and sexualized them and degraded them and made them feel less than who they are. So as women, what you're saying, Miss Crenshaw from Montgomery, Alabama, black women, we're going to call the community to order. Bev Smith said we got to call them to order.
And
in the spirit of the Havre Tazy Robinson and all of them, huh?
I want to say this. As we look at our history, there has never been a movement, and nothing changes in this society or in this world until the women get together, decide that they are going to make a change. I remember reading about France Fanon in Algeria and the Battle of Algeria against the French.
Mm-hmm.
And those women said, well, we're not going to bed with you anymore if you keep having to take this mess up from these French.
Right.
Defeated the French army. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes, I
now,
do. Even in Ghana, when his sister said, come up out of y'all bring y'all bus, and they stool, you come on out of these darn rocks, we going to fight.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And my appeal is to the women.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And to get the women, we as women do a good job of working and hustling out there to prop up black men who are exploiting us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not until, and in this city, of Montgomery, for all those years that the women were trying to get the ministers to organize against the buses, the ministers were afraid.
They're scared, and they're supposed to believe in God. Dr. King gave them courage.
Yes.
Let me tell you this. And you're right about the women. I got 7 minutes left. Mr. Mays, I'm going to try to get you on here. And Lillia, you got 20 seconds. You cannot. I'm gonna get Mama D. Mama D, you got 20 seconds. Hello, Mama D.
Good morning.
Real
quick. In the 60s, we turned this world upside down. Now that we are 60s, we've got to turn it right side up again.
Okay.
A black face with a white man used to be called an Oreo. This president has made history for special interest groups: gays, Hispanic women, including reparations by executive order for non-citizens called Dreamers. He has ignored blacks as a people, and that's the truth that will make us free of our fear and fight for the righteousness of reparations.
Thank you, Mama D.
Call
me next week. Right on. Lillian, 10 seconds, because I ain't got but 6 minutes. Lillian?
Yes?
Hurry up, 10 seconds. I ain't got but a few minutes.
I just want to be on the tour now, okay?
You're going to be on it. I got to meet with Bev Smith and Doris and all of them and work it out.
Okay, tell Ebony to take my number down.
Ebony, take a number. Ebony, put it on hold. We going to Montgomery to be with Doris Crenshaw. Mr. Mays. Mr. Mays, hurry up.
I'm not Mr. Mays. How are you?
Fine. Hurry up. You got 10 seconds.
You accidentally pulled me in. This is Gilda.
10 seconds.
Ms. Crenshaw, I'm in Birmingham, and I just moved from Chicago, and on Monday, you know, we are protesting the MLK breakfast where all of the civil rights, the CIVIL rights groups are pimping Dr. King's name and doing nothing for the people in Birmingham, that where the county, the only county hospital, Cooper Green, has been shut down.
Yeah, we Doris kind of knows the young folks down there. She's in there. She's all, she knows Gilda. I got 10 seconds. Thank you. I'm sorry. Mays? Mr. Mays?
I talked to Chris Mosley in Birmingham the other day, and they closed the hospital up there, Cooper Green.
Uh-huh. Doris, we got about a few minutes. I got a few minutes left. I'm going to talk back to you about that.
Cause tell them that the protest, the energy should be spent people who closed the hospital, and that I called Atlanta to Reverend Steele and said,
I know that, Doris, let me say this, I don't have 2 minutes. I know that you're working on this, and I know you, and there are people down there, your youth and all, and that you all are working on it, and we talked about it last week, so I kind of know how y'all kind of moving. And I also talked to Steele. I'm going to call him back again today.
Yes.
But, Doris, I got to wrap up. Doris, I got to wrap up. We've enjoyed this. I got to have you back. We're going to call back and put some structure around this whole, we're going to put structure around what we're getting ready to do here. I want to thank you, Doris. It's been wonderful, and I know you're going to be in Atlanta on Monday. That's where you're celebrating King.
Absolutely.
And the sad thing about it is they have tried to pull everything away from the King. They just try to bury that stuff down there. Do not, you know, it doesn't make no sense. I tell everybody, whoever you are, go to Atlanta and to celebrate King's birthday. But we're going to talk later because I want to get into restoring Dr. King's stuff, his whole crypt down there. We got a lot of work to do. We're ready to work, and we will be working. Doris, I want to thank you, and I want to thank you for the Institute. I want to thank you for those students, and I will talk to you tonight. You've been listening to Talk of Chicago, 69WVON, Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me, Dorothy Wright-Tillman. We on iHeart, and those who have missed it, you can go back and listen to this whole show on Blog Talk Radio. All you got to do is go up there and listen, and you can hear me, Dorothy Tillman, and hear Doris Crenshaw. And we're going to go on our Facebook and put a link so you can help Doris with these youth institutes, send some money, see what's going on. Let's get together. Evidence typing kind of floods on my Facebook if you want to see. Doris, love you much. Hold on. Reparations now. Hold on, Doris.
Time will bring.
people like me.